Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Canto 9, it's called Liberation, Chapter 4, Durvasa Muni offends Maharaj Ambarish. Today we've been assigned to do text 57 through 63. So there's no purport till 63, so we'll chant 63. But I think I'm going to make maybe a couple of comments about the unpurported verses, and then we'll do a full chanting and purport on 63. So if I'm, because I may make some comments, then before we do the purport, we'll say, Om Ajnana Timanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So we're picking up in this chapter where Durvasa Muni, he's fleeing from the Sudarshan Chakra, and he's going all over the universe, and he's really trying to get saved, get relief from the chakra. And he's gone to his worshipable deity, his Ishtadev, who is Lord Shiva. Durvasa Muni is a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And now in this text, 57, Lord Shiva is responding, continuing to respond to Durvasa Muni's request for shelter. And it's very interesting. Text 57, 58, 59. It's a three verses in one. And Lord Shiva is saying, past, present, and future are known to me, Lord Shiva. Sanat Kumar, this is, he's naming others that, who are Trikalagyas. Narada, the most revered Lord Brahma. Kapila, the son of Devahuti. Apanturatma, Lord Vyasadev. Devala, Yamaraj. Asuri, Marichi, and many saintly persons headed by him, as well as many others who have achieved perfection. Nonetheless, and there's always a, not always, but now here comes the but, right? However, but, kintu, nonetheless, because we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, we cannot understand how expansive that illusory energy is. Therefore, you know, you should simply approach that Supreme Personality of Godhead to get relief. For this Sudarshan Chakra is intolerable even to us. I can't help you, right? Go to Lord Vishnu. He will certainly be kind enough to bestow all good fortune upon you. This must have been a great shock for Durvasa Muni, who had made Lord Shiva his all in all, right? And this is very, this parallels very nicely, you know, our own journey. Like when we're kids, we, you know, yeah, well, you always have to adapt these examples as for the ever-changing times, because many people don't even know who their parents are these days, you know. But kids, you know, growing up, if they have good parents, they think their parents are everything, right? But if they're good parents, they will introduce them to even greater people, perhaps, than themselves. So that's what Lord Shiva's doing here. And you'll see, this is a little hint of what's coming in the seminars I'm going to be teaching too. Okay. So Lord Shiva is saying, he, Vishnu, he will certainly be kind enough to bestow all good fortune upon you. Of course, there's an irony there. We know, if you've read the Leela, you know what Lord Vishnu says, right? What's coming up? Okay, so that's 57 through 59. Let's do text 60. I'll just read the English. And now we go back to the narrator. Thereafter, being disappointed, even in taking shelter of Lord Shiva, Durvasa Muni went to Vaikuntha Dham, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, Narayan, resides with his consort, the Goddess of Fortune. Okay, so he took the hint. He followed the instruction of his Ishtadev. Now, what a yogi. Like Narada Muni, too. They can go anywhere in the material creation, the spiritual dimension, you know, such yogis. So he goes. He goes to Vaikuntha. Okay, let's see what happens. Text 61. Durvasa Muni, the great mystic, scorched by the heat of the Sudarshan Chakra, fell at the lotus feet of Narayan, his body trembling. He spoke as follows. Oh, infallible! Now he's shaking, right? He's really oppressed. He's scared to death, literally. Oh, infallible, unlimited Lord, protector of the entire universe, you are the only desirable objective for all devotees. I am a great offender, my Lord. Please, give me protection. Okay, that's 61. 62. Oh, my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction of this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your Lordship. Now this reminds me a lot of what Krista says in the 17th chapter, text 16, 17, 18. Oh, you Gita lovers, do you know what I'm getting at? Why do we come to Krishna? Krishna says, he certifies, he guarantees, we don't come to him in this material world for pure reasons. We don't come to him because we're angels. We come, why? What does he say? Seven, what's the first? There's a progression here from gross to subtle motives for coming to Krishna. Mangalahari, he knows. Loudly. Relief of distress. Yeah, you want to get rich. Curious. Yeah, that's the best. But there's still something that's common to all these motives, even if it's from, you know, gross to more refined. I'll recite them again. See if you can discern what's common to all of these. Suffering, wealth, curiosity, and wise. Now, they sound very different, but there's something common to all of those. Raise your hand.
Wants
That's right. They're all me-centered. It's all about me. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. That's why Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, he says only, you know, mature, ripe, full-fledged, through and through devotees, only those kinds of are really peaceful. You know, we struggle because we're still haunted by gross and subtle desires. Therefore, the saintly person, Prabhupada said, bless the aspiring transcendentalist, Munipurtra Majiv. O son of the Muni, O son of the sage, Muniputra Majiv. You, Prabhupada said, you don't live, you don't die. You don't live, you don't... No, that's the butcher. please, forgive me. Majiv, you don't live. Majiv, better you die right now, because now you're very sincere, you're struggling, you're trying to control your senses, your mind, your intelligence. Later on, who knows, you might get distracted, you might get diverted. Muniputra, Majiv. I actually saw this in Vrindavan once, 1987. Yeah, 27 years ago. My first visit to the first year of the VIHE. And Aindra Prabhu, the late, great Aindra Prabhu, had only been there a year. He had just started the 24-hour kirtan a year earlier. And he had a team, as you know, he always did. And in this case, it was Bengali brahmacharis mainly. It was, I'm not sure. But anyway, there was one Bengali brahmachari named Tapajivan. And during Kartik, while I was there, unbeknownst to anyone but Aindra Prabhu, Tapajivan caught that very virulent form of malaria, cerebral malaria, that kills you if you don't treat it. So when his team member, Tapajivana caught cerebral malaria, Aindra Prabhu dutifully got him some medicine and started administering it to him. And then after a time, Aindra noticed that Tapajivana wasn't taking his medicine anymore. And this was a very young, strong, you know, virile young man. And Aindra said, you know, Tapajivana, if you don't take this medicine, you will likely die. You will likely leave this world. And so later on, when he did leave, Aindra told us that when he said that to Tapajivana, Tapajivana just looked at him, touched his heart, and went like this, I'm ready. So it's kind of an irony that we come to Krishna for material motives. Krishna certifies it, Chaturvida bhajante mangjana sukhiti norjuna arto jigyasur artarti gyani chabaratar shabha. We come to him for these gross and subtle reasons, but whether they're gross or subtle, they're still all me-centered, because that's how we are. We've come here, you know, to forget Krishna and to carve out our own little God project, and it never seems to work out. You know, we always get beaten by time. So Durvasa Muni, he's making, you know, he's having some realizations, right? As there's nobody to sober you up like the Grim Reaper, you know, with the skeleton we have in the Western art, the skeleton with a cowl, we would say a cheddar, and a scythe, and he's he's coming to cut every, you know, to reap us, to cull us from the material world. And when you remember that, then you really sober up quick. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, philosophy means to keep death in the front. Not morbidly, but just to know that everything is always, it's temporary here. As the Vaishnava poet sings, Kamala Jaladala Jivanatala Mala. I was just circumambulating outside the temple, and I noticed you have this nice garden for Bhakta George Hari's son. So when George was attacked at Friar Park in 1999, and that was toward the end of his life, and by his last years, George was coming out more and more and preaching pretty straight whenever he could, you know, share with the press. And I remember the press sharing or asking George after he was attacked by that madman. And then Olivia, of course, you know, saved her husband by knocking the guy out with a lamp. The press asked George about the incident. We know what it was like to have been stabbed within, you know, very close to his life, that one of the incisions just missed a vital artery or something like that. So you know what George said?
Well, you know, life is as precarious, you know, as a raindrop on a lily leaf.
He's paraphrasing the Vaishnav Kavi. Yeah. That's how it is. So Durvasa Muni is getting some real realizations here. Okay. It's only you, Lord, can save me. But it's you know, it's still about saving him. You know. So let's do text 63. I think we're going to mine this a little more here. Forgive me. The way Prabhupada unpacks these Sanskrit words, it's like you can give a whole class just on the word for word. Prabhupada is, you know, when Srila Prabhupada would translate verses and give his purports, he always had Siddhanta in mind. He always knew where the Lord or the devotees were going with the verse. Therefore, his purports and translations are unique, and sometimes literalist scholars don't like it because they're just, you know, very often isolating words, you know, for their own speculations. And they say, why did Bhaktivedanta Swami say it like that? You know, it's not really literally what it means, but Prabhupada knows where it's going, and that's actually more important. But non-devotees never understand that, so it's an eternal tension there. Okay, translation, and this is, now we have the Lord responding to Durvasa Muni. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cores of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. So in his purport, Srila Prabhupada is going to elaborate. And just think as you hear the purport how our journey from material life to spiritual life is really a journey from gross selfishness, and then it gets refined, you know, as Prabhupada says, even, you know, extended selfishness and even humanitarian work, as long as it's me-centered or it's not God-centered, is missing the point. Krishna's the point. It's a journey from selfishness to selflessness. And the paradox is, that's how we find ourselves, when we lose ourselves in the holy name, in devotional service. Okay, Srila Prabhupada's purport. All the great stalwart personalities in the universe, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but... Here's the but again, right? But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully under the control of his devotee. Why is this? Because the devotee is anyabhilashita shunya. He has no other desires except to please Krishna. In other words, he has no material desires in his heart. His only desire is to think always of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how to serve him best. Because of this transcendental qualification, the Supreme Lord is extremely favorable to the devotees. Indeed, not only the devotees, but also the devotees of the devotees. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payeche Keba. Without being a devotee of a devotee, one cannot be released from material entanglement. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified himself as Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Thus he instructed us to become not directly servants of Krishna, but servants of the servant of Krishna. Devotees like Brahma, Narad, Vyas, and Shukadev Goswami are directly servants of Krishna, and one becomes a servant, and one who becomes a servant of Narada, Vyas, and Shukdev, like the six Goswamis, is still more devoted. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur therefore says, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sivanita. If one very sincerely serves the spiritual master, Krishna certainly becomes favorable to such a devotee. Following the instructions of a devotee is more valuable than following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya in text 75, Vyasa prasadat chutavahan etad guhyam mahang param. He says, by the mercy of Vyas, I have heard these most confidential talks between Krishna and Arjuna. And so wondrous is that holy dialogue that I am experiencing every moment. Hrishyami chamahur mahu. My hairs are standing as a wonder and a thrill. He's getting goosebumps, horripilations. Yeah, and then the purport, Prabhupada said, this is the mystery of the disciplic succession, that the experience of Krishna is direct, but it's through the parampara. Prabhupada used to call it Guru Parampara Radio. Krishna's broadcasting from Krishna Loka, and it's coming down to us through these transformers, nice word, transformative people, who are restoring us, reforming us, remaking us in Krishna's image, you know, Swarup Siddhi. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's what Krishna consciousness is. It's a journey to ourselves. Sometimes it's funny because sometimes, you know, we hear about pure devotional service and pure devotees, and we think, oh my God, I'm so far from that. But actually, all we're doing in Krishna consciousness is we're trying to become who we are. we're trying to become restored to who we are. So I'm going to take questions in a minute, but I would just like to thank Shruti Dharmapu and all of you for welcoming me back to Bhaktivedanta Manor. I haven't been here in a couple of years, and I've been doing this Founder Acharya seminar for about 3 years now. But when I was here, it was very early on in my attempts to present, and it was rather immature the way I was presenting things. So you're very generously welcoming me back for another chance. It was not always in balance, but if you're able to come, I'm going to be presenting tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday night, just the first three foundational lessons of the seminar. And I promise you, I'm improving, so you'll have a better experience. It's an interactive PowerPoint Q&A. Yeah, so thank you for letting me back here. and there's echo, because you see, our relationship with our founder Acharya is central to everything we read, hear, do, think, feel. There's echoes right in this verse and purport of what you're going to be hearing tonight. So I hope you can come. And I'll start singing about 7, but depending on how many people come after 7, then as soon as I have what I think is a quorum, enough people, then we'll actually start it. And once we start it, it's like maybe an hour of me speaking. The first lesson's actually the shortest one, not even an hour. And then we do, you know, the discussion of what I present. So it says on the advertisements, it says 7 to 9:30. I mean, that's too late, so don't worry. The later it gets, you know, the sleepier I get, and the sleepier we all get. So it's going to go maximum 8:45, yeah, I would think. Unless you insist, and you just keep me there, and you just, you know, yeah, okay. But it shouldn't be that late. Okay, I'm just going to read this verse again. If you have any questions or comments, please. So this is Lord Narayan responding to Durvasa's plea to be saved for shelter. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, "I am completely under the control of my devotees." Interesting how he's responding, huh? This is a hint of what he's about to say. You got to take shelter of Maharaja Ambarish. "I am not at all independent because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. I sit only within the cores of their hearts." Of course, he's in everybody's hearts, but, you know, what is that? Nahang tishtami vaikunte. Yeah, what's the second line? Yoginam hridayeshu va tatra tishtami narada madbhakta. What is it? I forget the last line. Something. "Oh, Narada Muni, I am not in Vaikuntha." Of course he is in Vaikuntha, but he's making a point. I am not in Vaikuntha, nor am I in the hearts of the yogis, nor where else. I'm only where devotees are chanting my holy names. What an echo for this. "What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me." Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments?